How long will it take, or you, Bill, to get things back up, to get us functional again in the event they're all knocked out?
Well, you've hit on another key aspect of what we talk about in the book here, and that is the regeneration capability. To use old fighter pilot term, we do not have rockets and satellites fitted on 5-minute strip alert. It takes months and months and sometimes a period of over a year to do regeneration of key capability because we do not have that regeneration, and that is a key aspect of what we highlight here. And that through the technology that Bill talked about earlier, we show that American ingenuity, that innovation of bringing some interesting technologies to bear not thought of ahead of time, but through the book, we are able to craft, I think, a very clever way of getting at some regeneration just to get the eyelids open a bit.
Next hour, we'll talk about the war game dead stats, which is part of the book, a major war. But if satellites were going out now and they were done by a country, would we know that?
It may be very difficult to tell, as Mike said earlier, who's doing it or even what is happening. It gets very techy very quickly, but the guys on the ground are pretty much reduced to looking at streams of data and trying to divine from those streams what has happened to the satellite. Commercial satellites in particular and an awful lot of military and intelligence satellites simply do not have the sensors on them today that can quickly tell the folks on the ground what has happened to the satellite. Is somebody messing with it, or is it a solar flare, or is it a micrometeoroid that penetrated the craft and plowed through a microprocessor, and that's what's causing the problem? It takes a period of time to sort out exactly what's going on. So that's kind of what the subtitle of our book is all about, the first 6 hours of World War III, because it may be a matter of hours, days even, before we even realize that we are already at war in space, because it's difficult to tell right away.
Who will be the aggressor? Rogue nations, these ideologists, or us?
It could be any of the above. You know, it could be homegrown terrorists. It could be, as I said, a Colombian drug cartel with a big wad of money that can go out and buy the technology necessary on the black market. It can be a rogue nation. There are so many ways to have an impact on our space infrastructure that's one of the messages of the book. We are very vulnerable, and you can attack not just the satellite in space, but the links, the up and down link signals. You know, you can jam those at the most crude and basic level. You can have an attack on a ground station, and if you knock out a key ground station, you've essentially knocked out the satellite, too.
Mike, you and I have been in the Navy. We do know that one of the biggest deterrents to nuclear war is the Russian and our submarine capabilities, because, you know, we're just minutes away from being able to hit the mainland of each other's countries because of these things. If satellites go out, what happens to the subs?
Well, the subs are fairly self-contained, and they do, in fact, as you might imagine, in building up that nuclear deterrent over the years, many, many different backup capabilities. And that dates back to the older technology of simple long-distance, high-frequency radio waves. So I think when you consider that aspect, a lot has been thought through in terms of making sure that they are, one, protected, and two, being able to communicate as necessary.
If they can't communicate with, the main NORAD or some command post, Strategic Air Command, if they cannot communicate with us, are they told to launch or anything like that? Do you know?
Not, you know, I'm not from the submarine force, George. I'm former naval aviator and surface guy, but didn't
Rick Over want you once?
I would have struggled with the good admiral because I might have been a little bit too rebellious, and that's why I went to the flying side of things. But there are protocols that they will follow in the event of lack of communication, and those protocols, first and foremost, are to gain and regain communications by any means possible, not trigger to launch. But there are protocols that do, in fact, ensure their survivability and ensure their sustainability under very, very difficult circumstances.
Talk about the tipping point that we mentioned in the foreword of the book.
Yes. It goes back to your point, George, when you were mentioning the rogue nations, and you did say you wanted to defer Iran and maybe Russia a bit later, but just as a means of highlighting about the tipping point, the key here is that although we start with the rogue elements and non-state actors, other adversaries become emboldened as the United States becomes more, shall we say, deaf, blinded, and inability to really gain the situational awareness globally that's necessary. And that emboldening that occurs for potential adversaries is part of the provocativeness of the book in showing that what might occur should these series of events start to cascade and pile up in our space dynamics.